Today with Kino Cummings.
We all have a voice. Use yours. Call 021-446-0567.
Join the conversation.
On Cape Talk.
I am never delighted by Parliament. Never, ever, ever. I look at Parliament live sometimes and I go, can you all grow up? Or keep quiet and move out of Parliament and make way for some other people. Until I heard this speech in Parliament. It was an ANC MP. And what I loved about it, you had the ANC standing up and clapping, standing ovation, and so did the Democratic Alliance. Take a listen to this.
When the national anthem was introduced, it had that Afrikaans version. We need to sing it as this. It unites us. Never again can we allow narrow nationalism to creep in and consume our nation. We strongly condemn what has been modus of operandi in Katlehong and in Thokoza.
Order, order, honourable members.
Honourable Speaker, the commemoration and significance of National Days is underpinned by the responsibility of uniting South Africans across diversity. As an important pillar of the social cohesion and national building project, it is National Days programs which facilitates the celebration and commemoration of National Days. An outcry which has been lifted is that more work needs to be done through this program to unite the nation.
And there you go. Now, my context when it comes to liking this is I started in my commercial media career when Nelson Mandela was released and worked for Reuters as a soundman initially and used to, you know, pay a lot of attention to what Madiba did. And yes, trying times, uncertain times, but at least as a nation back then and during his term for the most of it, I felt that this country was in a position to work together to solve its problems. But if I think back to today and the politics of today, you've got this vile, sickening, unproductive divisiveness that creeps into our speech, sponsored by the likes of Julius Malema's EFF and Steve Hofmeyr and his right wing. And it's just blatant racism, on the one hand, against Indians and white people in this country, and on the other hand, wanting to hark back to pre-1991 even. And my question is, where do you think this country should go? Do you buy into this narrow nationalism on either side? Or do you believe that it's important for us to actually bring this country together again? Because for one, I will sing and I do sing the Afrikaans part of that anthem as a black South African, and I make absolutely no bones about it. Joe, do you sing the Afrikaans part of the anthem? Joe sings the Afrikaans part of that particular anthem. I'd like to know whether you do. Do you not sing it? Maybe why you do and why you don't. And what in your mind should we be focusing on as a nation? What do you see around you that actually works and that we should maybe take and replicate? That's what I'm putting to you this morning. And I'd love to get your take on that. And as a matter of fact, I see I got a call. No, we didn't. We'll be taking your calls this morning. I see some people phoning through. We'll get to that. I just think that we can do more together in this country. People who have access to wealth, and whether they're white or black, everybody should be part of trying to make this a better nation. And almost links to the discussion I had yesterday about what are you doing to give back to where you come from. If you make people feel bad because they're of the color of their skin, why would they want to help you change this particular nation? And I'm sick of that toxic type of discussion that permeates society. I really, really, really am. And then, on the other hand, today is a big day. And I talk about how big it is, looking at a tweet by the Greens MP, Adam Brandt, and he is in Australia. He said, "This is huge." Melbourne announces over 100,000 people as part of the climate strike. Now, the global climate strike is the third in a worldwide series of climate rallies organized by students initially. And that was led by the 16-year-old Greta Thunberg. The adults are getting involved as well. The bottom line is fossil fuel burning our warming climate. Some people believe the pseudoscience saying that it's not happening. Other people are saying, no, but it is happening, and there's science to prove it. And I love the fact that a 16-year-old girl sailed across the ocean 15 days, landed in New York. She then addressed Congress on her climate concerns. So I'll play what she had to say, and that is followed by some insight from CNN Weather. Take a listen to this.
I have not come to offer any prepared remarks at this hearing. I'm instead attaching my testimony. It is the IPCC Special Report on Global Warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius, the SR 1.5, which was released on October 8, 2018. I am submitting this report as my testimony because I don't want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to the scientists, and I want you to unite behind the science. And then I want you to take real action.
Could you expand on why it's so important to listen to the science?
Just such a thing that we should be taking for granted, that we listen to the current best available united science. It's just something that everyone should do. This is not political opinions, political views or my opinions. This is the science.
Now, that was Greta Thunberg, and then CNN, she talks about the science. Look at what the scientists had to say, and this is something that CNN Weather put together. Anyway, we don't have that. We'll get there. Anyway, it is 9:14. Let's go straight to your calls this morning. It is an open line. Bernard in Claremont, good morning.
Hey there. Yeah, Keno, listen, I just want to, I just found it quite offensive. You mocking the Bible yesterday like that.
Yeah.
If you did the same thing about the Quran, you'd be taken to task. I mean, it's actually divisive, and it's arrogant to Christians. You know, your wisdom is fairly PC. You know, we all go with the vibe, but ancient wisdom is found in the Bible, and I just think it is arrogant for you to actually pick holes in the Bible.
You have every right to have that opinion, and I thank you for raising it with me. So listen, let me apologize if I've offended you, but I'll tell you the context, and I won't apologize for the context. Our constitutional court, our law, right, that's the law of the land. And that law of the land surpasses any other law that we have. So I take, for example, the Jehovah's Witnesses and the cases that we've had, which we've quoted in the past, where parents are refusing to give their children blood transfusions because of what the Bible tells them, right? The courts have overruled that, and doctors have gone ahead and given blood transfusions. The same, not the same people, but people also use the Bible, and they throw those quotes out in WhatsApps coming to us, into this radio station. They do it in their public platforms, and they use that as an excuse to abuse a child. Now, I find that highly offensive, and that is the context within which I actually read out those particular quotes out of the Bible. And I said at the end of it that whether you like it or not, the Constitution is supreme, and you cannot hide behind those quotes to lift your hand to a child. So that was the context, and I know that we're going to disagree on this, Bernard, and that's fine.
Yeah. No, well, okay. I mean, God is obviously a lot higher than the Constitution. And
sure. But
man in his arrogance is full of it.
So. Okay. No, fair enough. And well, what does the Bible say about the land and the law of the land?
Yeah, wherever it doesn't offend the law of God, then we should obey the law of man. So, yeah, that's a whole big other debate. But
sure.
I just don't think we should be picking holes out of the Bible, picking out picking the Bible to pieces. Mm. I mean, if you did the same to the Quran, you'd probably have an angry mob outside your studio there.
I don't know, but I mean, if I find something that I find truly offensive, I shall read it out and I'll address it. So, Bernard, but what I want to say about this particular call, I welcome it. So thank you very much. I'm glad that you felt that you could pick up the phone and tell me you think I was talking nonsense, and great. And you are very much entitled, and I respect that opinion.
Good stuff. Bless you, man.
Have a good one, man. That is Bernard in Claremont. Your calls this morning on 021-446-0567. There's 17 minutes past nine. And yeah, we can go back to that. We were talking about the Constitutional Court ruling where the court ruled that you can't spank a kid. We had a long discussion yesterday as well on this show with a clinical psychologist. And I think generally speaking, we agreed that while some people believe it should be okay, we don't know who's handing out the hidings. We don't know what state of mind those people are in, parents. And they might abuse the child. So how do you regulate that? But the bottom line, once again, is that the Constitutional Court has ruled that you can't spank your kid. And whether you use a Bible verse or a verse in the Quran does not matter. Because the highest law in the land said you can't. So we can have debates around that. And I see some more people want to talk about spanking children. That's cool too. If you want to talk about what that ANC MP said about bringing the country together, that is something I'd like to put up there. For too long have I been sitting and listening to radio shows and listening to television debates and watching Twitter where people become so divisive. And they want to make you feel bad because that's the color of your skin. And maybe it's just the way I was reared by my parents. And they taught me that actually, if you want to achieve something, you need to work together with people. And you need to work with people who want to work with you. And you're not going to be able to work with people if you make them feel like rubbish. So, you know, inclusivity is an important thing. That is something else we can talk about this morning as well. Let's go to Regan and Paul. Hi, Regan. Good morning, sir.
Yes, morning. How are you, Tino?
I'm very good, my friend. Very good. And you?
I'm so great. No, I just wanted to give my comment on the of his spanking.
Sure,
the
go
child,
for it.
In reference to the Bible. The Bible does not say that you must spank a child to the extent of whereby now the child must have, you know, a blue eye or something. No, you just have to treat a child so that he can listen, not brutally beating a child. And there are some people who are just not commenting the Bible as if they know the interpretation of the Bible. So they are misquoting the Bible. And even in the reference to the Jehovah's Witness, whereby they're saying you cannot give the blood. The Bible does not specify. There is no verse that says you mustn't give the blood to the child.
Yeah.
Now there are some churches and some leaders who are misinterpreting the Bible to the extent of that now it is even trying to oppose the Constitution. But if you are to look at the Constitution of this country, and a person who knows exactly what the Bible says, I'm telling you, there's no difference.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, that's the dangerous thing, is how people take sections out of holy books, whether it's the Quran or the Bible or whatever, right, the Torah, and they use it for their own narrow interests. And
exactly.
Yeah, no, okay. But, Regan, thank you very much for that. Regan and Paul, let's go to Martin. Martin in Somerset West. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Gina. Yeah, I just want to give my view on the national anthem and the Afrikaans version. Mm. I'm Afrikaans, and I for many years I've been only speaking English basically as in self defense, but so it's for me. I can understand also the why the people don't like. There's a lot of people who polarize with Afrikaans in there with the stem. So I would be happy as an Afrikaans person just to have a Afrikaans verse of the Nkosi in the national anthem, which is you don't need the for me. I know that not everybody will have the same feeling about it. But
sure.
But to have a Afrikaans verse with the same flow, because if you sing in course and you suddenly go to the stem, you basically it's almost another song.
You know, you're almost right. So what you're saying is take the language, which, by the way, Afrikaans is spoken by more black people than white people, for example, but let's take the language and integrate that into Nkosi Sikelela Afrika. And take one or two of those verses, change that to English, into Afrikaans as well, so that the whole thing blends from a language point of view.
Exactly.
I like that.
Wouldn't that be more uniting that you sing the same song, basically, but in different languages?
You know, if there's someone out there who wants to do that for us, if there's someone out there who is talented enough to be able to do the translations, maybe even put it together and see what it would sound like, I'm encouraging someone to do that for us and take a bit of Afrikaans and even a bit of English and throw that into Nkosi Sikelela Afrika. But I think it's a wonderful idea, by the way. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, oh well, I can't do it because I'm not very creative at it at all. So,
There's no twee van ons, Martin, twee van ons. Have a wonderful day, my friend. Thanks for the call.
You too, thanks.
Cheers, bye. Hey, that's Martin in Somerset West. Let's go to, who do I have? I've got Samantha in Friendly Corner, Vredehoek. Hello, how are you doing there, Samantha?
I'm fine, thank you, Kino. Thanks for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
My point was with regards to the Mavericks planes that fly over our heads quite often.
Mm.
You know, I suppose just with the whole, where we are with the whole femicide and violence against women, you know, gender-based violence, I just feel that it's quite offensive to have these planes advertising, you know, a strip club. You know, I don't really know if this has been raised before, how you feel about it.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. It's, you had to ask me the more difficult question, didn't you? I agree with what you're saying in terms of the context, right? But then one looks at whether or not Mavericks plays a role in demeaning women. Does it play a role in changing men's view on women? I don't know. Probably does, depending on which man it is. But then what do we do? Yeah. Do we ban it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's blatant advertising of it, you know.
Mm.
We've got such strict regulations with regards to cigarettes and alcohol and, you know, other things. And this is just blatant advertising. And I've got two small children, one of which is a girl, and she keeps on saying, "Mom, look at the planes. Look at those beautiful planes. What are they saying?"
Yeah, I mean, you can always lie to her. But
No, you do want to lie to her because it's shameful, you know?
But do you think we then have to ban a company like Mavericks?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know.
It's an interesting,
the blatant advertising of it.
Yeah, I mean, the people advertising your face all the time. You've got billboards, that's a legal way of advertising, by the way. When you drive past billboards with alcohol, for example, then, you know, that makes alcohol look great and everybody should give it a go, then, you know, similar arguments could be made. But
right.
I'm glad you raised it. Maybe other people with, you know, better views than mine will be able to call in this morning, Samantha.
Okay. No, well, thank you very much.
Have a wonderful day. And if we don't talk again, have a great weekend.
No, thank you very much. To you too.
Thanks. Let's go to Dominic. Dominic in the CBD. Hi there.
Good morning, Kino.
Hi, Dominic.
I was going to comment on something else, but I live around the corner from Mavericks, and I see those posters every day.
Mm.
And those, it's not even erotic. Those ladies look human trafficked, to be honest. And I think those airplanes should be banned, just even on a global warming basis.
Okay.
I mean, that is just such a wasteful way to advertise your business. Anyway, yesterday you had a news bulletin, and the first item was about a woman who was being arrested because she left her newborn baby in a pit toilet.
Yeah.
And then three items later, you had the court ruling that spanking children is illegal.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was a very interesting juxtaposition of how extreme our country is in terms of how children are treated here.
Yeah. What do you think of the spanking law, by the way?
I think it's good. I think that's ideal. That is how everyone should be raised. It's very progressive. It's very cutting edge. I think that's where everyone's moving towards. But we are obviously very far behind when we still have issues with newborns being found in pit toilets, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think, you know, once again, a mother, and there should be consequences for that because at the end of the day, you could be murdering that baby.
But it's totally socio-economics. Like, no, no,
exactly.
No woman that wants to do that. Like,
no, exactly.
There are serious reasons why she's doing
that. And that's what I'm saying. We need to look at the deeper reasoning behind a lot of these things that we talk about. Good point. Thank you so much, Dominique.
Okay. All right, bye.
Lovely day. There we go. Tony in Musenberg. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Kino. Thank you for taking the call. I wanted to pick up on Samantha's point on Mavericks. Maybe from a guy's perspective, it'll help, or it might throw a slant on it. And I wanted to ask, what is it really about men and women and the interaction that makes it so bad? And I take it that it's to do with objectifying women.
Mm.
And if we look at it from that perspective, anything that objectifies women is really wrong in our society.
Okay.
So a scantily clad woman hanging on a poster from the back of an aeroplane is really objectifying a woman.
Although it's not a scantily clad woman on the back of an aeroplane. It's a sign that says Mavericks, and then there's another sign attached to it that says we have new dancers.
Fair enough. Okay, so let's avoid the picture analogy. Let's go for what it stands for.
Sure.
And we all know what Maverick stands for.
Okay.
And I, as a guy, I need to avoid objectifying women.
Okay. And then we should do some in advertising as well.
Where does objectifying women start? Where does a guy that's raped a woman or a child? Where does that start? They've objectified a woman in public, in a real sense. They've acted out on it.
Where does that start? If you chat to some psychologists, then we've had these discussions over years. A lot of them would tell you it's not about the sex, for example. It's about power. It's about a whole host of other things within the perpetrator's life. Not that we make any excuses for those perpetrators, but you know, if we're saying simply because a woman is wearing a mini skirt, a man's going to be aroused and is going to start objectifying her and is going to want to take advantage of her. I mean, there's a deeper issue there. And I'm not sure whether you can blame that on scantily clad people in Mavericks dancing on a table.
I think I agree with you, but I think sex is a conduit.
Okay. Well, Tony, thank you for that. A quick one by Ruby in the CBD. Hi, Ruby. Good morning.
Hi. So, I was actually invited to Mavericks a couple of years ago by a group. We went, a group of women, and we had our own dancer who showed us some stuff, and then afterwards we went into the main hall. And I have to tell you that it was the most powerful experience in terms of trauma. I was traumatized for weeks afterwards by what I saw. Mm. These women are not just scantily clad. They are walking around in these completely see-through, tiny little negligees.
Sure.
They'll walk past the table, a guy will grab the girl's arm, and she'll have to go and sit on him and do whatever they do on lap dancing or whatever. Mm.
Some people argue that when you do the lap dancing, no one's allowed to touch, etc. But now we're getting down into the minutiae. The question is it good? Is it bad for society? Let's continue having that particular discussion.